It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
High net to Ferraro, spins a backhander through traffic around the near boards. Gregor settles it. Ekholm pinches in. Gregor slides it over to Ferraro. Boy, he gets hit pretty hard there by Fogel into the boards. Puck skitters free. And now it's McDavid against Benning again. Worked loose, but the Sharks come up with it. Unfortunately, though, Bordeleau couldn't get it. And it's fired toward the net just wide, fortunately, by Bouchard. McDavid centers in front for Fogel. Tipped away by Gregor's stick. Rebound. Score! It's McDavid. He scores the goal, and he has 150 points on the season. Connor McDavid, for the first time since Mario Lemieux in 1995-96, has reached 150 points, and Edmonton takes the 2-1 lead. McDavid gets it back near side, pass to the circle, intercepted and cleared out by Hurdle, and the Sharks will get a quick change here. Who's stepping onto the ice? Stephen Lawrence. Uh-oh, McDavid, he's got sprung. Breakaway, McDavid, stick handle, shoot, score! An absolute gift for Connor McDavid. He stick handled, in with speed, slowed down, waited out James Reimer, deked the puck, and put it past him. So Connor McDavid gets his 64th goal of the season, his third point of the game, and it's 6-1 Edmonton.
Yeah, I think that goal and then the shorthanded goal that made it 4-1 really demoralizes you, because I thought up to that point we were competing and giving ourselves a chance, and you could just feel it after the shorthanded goal coming in the period. It zapped us, man. It's, you know, a similar story to when Colorado was here. The talent usually catches up to you, but, you know, I thought there were some gifts from our end that we really could have avoided that kind of really fueled them. And, you know, they went one way after that fourth goal and we went another.
All right, good morning, everyone. I'll say right off the bat that as bad as this season has been, I hate the fact that we don't have any more Sharks hockey to take in at SAP Center, just because every time you walk into the building, you know that something special can happen, whether it's going to be an amazing moment from Erik Karlsson, whether it's going to be something from Tomas Hertl, Logan Couture, whoever it's going to be, that's what you live for. And hopefully what was a bad era of Sharks hockey at SAP Center is one season and done, because I'm already looking forward to the home opener in 2023. One of the things that Tomas Hertl talked about at the post-game presser was that, you know, he had heard from other teams that the first 10 minutes at SAP Center were amongst the hardest in the NHL, just to deal with the rush of the fans, you know, the excitement as the team comes out of the Sharks' head. And, you know, obviously, when the Sharks came into the league in 1991, everything was changing in our sports media landscape, and there was much more production value, and there was much more just overall, you know, kind of a show being put in place for what fans expected to see when they came to a professional sporting environment. You can look at the, you know, player intros that also happened around the same time in Chicago with the Bulls and everything that was happening with Jordan. And, you know, that's just how, you know, sports were evolving. And the San Jose Sharks, being in the Bay Area, were able to take advantage of that and be, you know, one of those teams that put forth a wild start to every game. And with that, I think it's carried over, you know, years, decades later, generations later, to where you have, you know, SAP Center, you know, when it's rocking, still one of the hardest places to play in all of the NHL, and especially those first 10 minutes when the crowds are loud. I mean, listen, I go back to the most recent playoff appearances back in 2019, and I just remember walking through the parking lot and seeing everybody outside. You know, this is springtime in the Bay Area. That's the other thing, is like, for it to be the start of April and no more SAP Center hockey, God, I mean, that's just, it's such an aberration compared to how it used to be, because, you know, I'm, at this point, it's like late April, middle of May, you know, like that's what you're used to. You're used to games, you know, at SAP Center as you get deeper into spring, and it's beautiful as you're showing up. And, again, the early starts for a lot of those, the 5 o'clock starts. And I mean, it's the best. There's literally nothing quite like going to SAP Center in the springtime for a playoff game. But like, that's what you're used to. You're used to showing up and seeing these incredible things and seeing these incredible moments. And now we've got to wait, you know, for, you know, half of April and then all of May, June, July, August, and then you get into September and we're talking about, you know, training camp and getting back to it. But that's a long ways away, and that's not something that makes me particularly happy that I have to wait that long again before we see, you know, the Sharks at SAP Center. And that's got to be one of the top priorities for the team if they got to take that next step, and that is to reestablish SAP Center. I don't know exactly what happened this year. I wish I did have a better understanding of what exactly occurred, because it's a bit of a mystery to me at this point. I'll be honest. Like, if you look at the way the Sharks were able to play on the road this year, it was pretty decent. Like, that's what I always come back to, is like the Sharks on the road this year were not a bad team. They were okay. They weren't great in any way, shape, or form. But if you look at their record of 14-19-5, compared that to, you know, in Arizona, it was 7-25-9. And even, you know, you look at some of the lower tier teams that are in the playoff picture, you know, it's not that far off. You know, you look at a Calgary, they've got 18 road wins. Take a look at Winnipeg, 19. You know, that's very much in the vicinity of where the Sharks have been. And obviously they are not, you know, in the playoff picture, but it's not that far off. We're talking about the difference of, you know, 10 points overall in their home records from wins. That's not wildly different. And then if you look at the Eastern Conference, Florida, 19 away wins, the Islanders, 17, Pittsburgh, 17. Like, this is not some vast difference between where the Sharks are. By the way, those playoff races in the East and the West to finish off for the wild cards, it's pretty wild. But, you know, I do look at that and say, like, okay, the Sharks, you know, for a quote-unquote bad team, they're not supposed to be good on the road. They were pretty much in the picture. I mean, look at Columbus, 9-25-6 on the road. We're talking about very much different performances overall from how these teams looked on the road compared to the Sharks. And the difference is obviously what happened inside your own building. And the Sharks just could not get it done. Again, you look at the 8 wins at home. Anaheim had 12. You go and look at the Eastern Conference and you see that the worst home record has 15 wins, and that's Columbus. I mean, we're just talking about a stark difference in terms of what happened home and away this year. And I think that's part of what's made the whole idea of the Sharks, you know, performing too well and not putting themselves in the Bedard Bowl is the fact that they have been a better team than their overall record would suggest. Like, there has been an aberrantly poor performance at home, whereas on the road, they've been closer to a middle tier team. Like, I'm not saying that is a desired outcome, but it's just kind of like, you know, that's not that much of a surprise that a team that can go on to the East Coast and go toe-to-toe with some of the better teams in the league, you know, ends up having trouble, you know, losing games that you would like to see them lose. The team has a lot of pride. They have some decent talent. They are able to compete, but it's just not a consistent product. And we saw that again last night from the San Jose Sharks, or yesterday afternoon, I should say. There were not enough consistent performers across the ice throughout the entirety of the game. There were some turnovers that are still a part of the Sharks game. There are still some poor decisions being made. There are still things that need to change for San Jose as we look ahead to the future. And, you know, evaluations are going to be ongoing. You know, obviously it's one thing to not have the talent to go head to head with Edmonton, but when you give up late period goals, when you give up shorthanded goals, you're not giving yourself a chance. And I think that's what the Sharks are probably going to take away from that game. And you want to level the playing field, right? Like, you want to give yourself your best chance to compete against a team like Edmonton, who's been red hot in the new year. But you make life difficult for yourself by making these poor decisions, by making poor plays, by not giving yourself the opportunity to win. That's not going to help you as you go forward as a team. So you've got, in this process of evaluation, yes, you don't have anybody right now that's on the level of a Connor McDavid. That is very, very true. But you do have other players that are talented, and you do have other, you know, playmakers on your team, and you do have other abilities as a team, but what are you doing to maximize those, right? Like, you are putting yourself in a position to fail against Edmonton if you do not, you know, maintain puck possession, if you turn the puck over, if you give them momentum, they're going to make you pay for it. And so for the Sharks, It's rectifying those aspects as they go into the offseason that will allow them to be a better team going forward. So, you know, right now, this time period of evaluation is everything you are trying to get and or derive from these final few games of the season. And now you've got three left before the year is done, and guys need to be working their tails off and trying to show that they deserve to be around, whether it's in San Jose or in the NHL, for another year. You're at Winnipeg. That's a team in the playoff hunt. You're at Calgary. That's a team in the playoff hunt. That's Edmonton, a team that is clearly in the playoffs. I mean, that's something that you have to show, that even when it's the end of the year and it's all for naught, that you've got to be able to put forth good performances. I'm not saying the Sharks need to win these games, but I am saying that they need to give themselves a good showing going into the end of the regular season for a lot of these guys to show that they can be part of, you know, the solutions going forward into the next year. Because this was a game yesterday in which, you know, they didn't give themselves any help, you know, right? Giving up late period goals, giving up shorthanded goals, you know, not being able to manage the puck well enough. These are things that, you know, you have to deal with overall. And I'm sure it's going to be one of the things that David Quinn focuses on going forward through the rest of the season. And then, you know, there was also the fact that Erik Karlsson was not able to get to the 100-point mark on home ice. Yeah, it would have been nice for Erik Karlsson to do that in front of home fans. But, you know, that was a tough task going against Edmonton the way they've been playing as of late. And, you know, it'll keep fans engaged through the final three games of the year, which is something that I am very much looking forward to. And, you know, this has been a tough time for the San Jose Sharks. I mean, I know that there's still three games left, but when the end of the regular season on home ice happens, there is a certain finality about it because you're not able to witness it in person, most of us, the same way anymore. And that's rough. Listen, I've been there at the end of bad seasons broadcasting the San Jose Earthquakes, and I know what it's like to go on the road at the end of a bad season and call that final game. It feels different when it's after the last home game. I flash back to the worst season in the history of the franchise in 2018. I know exactly what's that is like from the perspective of a play-by-play announcer. I think back to some of the lean years the 49ers had, you know, after Steve Mariucci or after Jim Harbaugh. I know exactly what it's like from the perspective of a fan. And now working for the San Jose Sharks and being a talk show host for the team, I know exactly what it's like from the perspective of being a talk show host. I mean, I've been in this game my entire life, right? Like, I've been around bad teams. I have watched rebuilds. I have watched teams come back from the dead. I have watched teams have quick turnaround. In sports, you know that there is only a temporary, you know, situation most of the time. Sometimes a culture of losing can set in. And I've talked about that being something that I want to avoid. I look at what happened to the 49ers, you know, after Steve Mariucci, where they just could not find the ability to get those wins until Harbaugh came in. And then that was a change, obviously. But you don't want to fall into those traps of where you're just, you know, looking to get to 500 on a year and you're looking outwards to for the solutions to come in and fix things. You got to fix things from within. And I know that seems like it's relatively obvious, but, you know, this has got to be something that Logan Couture and Erik Karlsson and Tomas Hertl and Mario Ferraro and other players on the Sharks, as well as the coaching staff, fix as a collective. And that's not just the lack of wins at SAP Center, but it's like, you can't be counting on a Connor Bedard. You can't be counting on free agent signings to be the guys that come in and fix it. Like, they can all be a part of it. Granted, I'm not going to say that some hot prospect or some free agent acquisition can't be a part of the solution going into the next year. But I do think that a lot of these guys have the ability to help the team from within. And I think they know that. I think Logan Couture, if you were to ask him man to man what he thinks, you know, they need to get done, he's not going to talk about, you know, the need for someone from external places to come in and help them win. He's going to say that he needs to be better. And Erik Karlsson's going to say that he needs to do even more. Mario Ferraro is going to say that he needs to do more. I mean, these, you just go down the list. And that is the right attitude. You need to have these guys with that mentality that they need to be the solution, as opposed to hoping someone else comes in and rescues them. But man, this season's been a bummer. Like, I'm not trying to paint a picture of the future through teal-tinted glasses too much here, because I have too much respect for you guys. Like, I know that this has been tough. I know that this is not something that we are going to look back on very fondly in the offseason to be like, oh, that was a great season of Sharks hockey. Like, even some of the disappointing years for the Sharks when they did not have a run in the playoffs that I was hoping for. You still looked back. You were angry about the playoffs, but you were still like, okay, it's a good team. There's hope for next year. You had the immediate ability to say next year. But right now, because of where the Sharks are in their, you know, timeline in terms of making themselves a playoff contender right again, I don't know what next year specifically is going to hold. I would imagine that the product on home ice is going to be better just because it's been such an aberration from what the expected win total would be on home ice. I mean, what is it? Since the shootout era, they're the first team to get fewer than double-digit home wins. I mean, that's not normal, right? Like, when other teams are in the Sharks' similar position and have many more home wins, you know there is something out of the ordinary going on, and hopefully it's 1 year and done. But, you know, ultimately, even if I cannot predict the future, you just have to have a little bit of that hope in terms of hopefully next year it is a better product. Hopefully next year they get more home wins. Hopefully next year they see more development from some of their younger players. Hopefully next year they have the ability to be more of a consistent, less error-prone team. Like, those are the hopes right now. You don't say hopefully next year they can make that deep run into the playoffs, because hopefully next year they can be part of the playoff picture. Like, these are the things that you hope for. These are the things that you try and give yourself a little bit of that spark as you look forward to the offseason. But yeah, I'm bummed that we don't have any more Sharks hockey at SAP Center this year. I think back to so many of those playoff series, just driving to the tank. It was just, you know, a beautiful afternoon. You know you're going to go in and see something pretty special like that. That, to me, not having that once again this year for a fourth consecutive season, it's a bummer. It's a really, really big bummer, and I am excited for the future, but at the same time, not in any way, shape, or form ready for the reality that yesterday was the last home Sharks hockey that we've got for months and months and months. But I am excited to see what Greer and Quinn do in this offseason. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get into some post-game reaction on the other side. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Here are the Sharks moving in. Hurdle gets a pass, shoots, score! Jacob Peterson wins the battle down the wing. And it's right out in front and into the net. And that's a big goal for Tomas Hurdle to tie this game 1-1.
It's tough to say, but probably the power play, because, you know, that could be the momentum we could score. And even last couple of games, we finally scored some power play goals. And it's tough, you know, and you always try to make a place for everybody, and they score. And I think it's tough to, you know, give up. But it's not just that, but it was like all season and everybody, but maybe that. But we still, you know, as their offense is really good, and that's why we've been right there first period, because we've been on them, we don't give time, and they don't like playing D zone, you know, and Draisaitl made every day two best center essential to play O zone, but I don't think so in D zone, and we don't put them enough into D zone and make them tired there. We just give them the ice, and that's what they love.
That is a goal from Tomas Hertl and his thoughts on the game, getting away from them, bringing us back in on a Sunday morning here on Morning Tide. I think that obviously with the end of the home games for the San Jose Sharks now having occurred, there is some reflection on reestablishing SAP Center as one of the toughest buildings in the NHL to play. This is what Hurdle offered on the frustrations of their play at home this year.
It's tough, you know, because, you know, I love to play at home. I always, like 10 years now, playing here. It's my favorite place. You know, fans are great. They've been always great to me, and you always want to win, especially for them. And even the last game, even with the season, is tough loss like that, even after a good start. But it's really tough and frustrating because you're playing for the fans, and it seems like we just couldn't give it to them this year.
Andy was asked about reestablishing SAP Center in the future.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I remember when I talked to other Czech guys, you know, before I get to NHL, and they always saying first 10 minutes SAP is the hardest building in NHL, and we kind of get from that because, you know, we lost a lot of games, and we have to just figure out because we know we have to be better, and I can again make it tough, but every team has to want to play the best at home because you play in front of your fans, and if you play good, you know, they help you out and they follow you, and for sure we have to figure out because that many wins is not acceptable, especially at home.
And Logan Couture gave his thoughts on this topic as well.
It's a good question. Obviously this year wasn't good, especially here at home. We lost a lot of hockey games in a lot of different ways, so I'm sure once the season ends, everything will be digested. I know the front office has a plan that they're sticking to here, and you know, we'll go from there.
And even though there has been discussion of the team not playing or doing anything different at home versus on the road, you do wonder if something kind of creeped into their head after the start in which they were so poor at home, and, you know, just getting those wins on the road, if it did make them start to think about, you know, what they were doing. And there was always a mental factor that comes in, and you start thinking that you're a little bit snake bit, and you get some tough losses on your home ice. And the one I always point to is you're up, you know, 4-2 with 5 minutes left to play against Anaheim, and you end up losing that game in a shootout. Like, those are things that can get into an athlete's head. Those are things that we can all start thinking about of, you know, what the Sharks had happen to them in this specific year, and then what they can do in the future to try and make it not happen again. And sometimes, you know, after a rough go like the Sharks have had this year, you do just need that hard reset. You do just need that one and done where it's like, okay, that was a bad year, and now we're going to move on from it. Now we're going to be a better team. Now we're going to be a more capable and competent team on our home ice, and that's just over and done with. And hopefully that is exactly what it takes. It's just 1 year, it's over with, and then you move on to a better timeline and, you know, hopefully get that much better of a performance from many of your best players, especially on home ice. Because, you know, when you're a professional athlete, you count on that home mentality. You count on the fans to lift you up. You count on the ability of the team to ride the momentum that the fans bring in every single game, at least on home ice, that is. And then if you're not able to do that, if your team is not able to persevere in that capacity, yeah, I mean, it does start to add up. But that's why you need the hard reset. You got to be able to look at the next season and say, okay, last year, that was last year. This year, this is this year. And I know that's an oversimplification, but I do think that is part of what teams and players need. They need these boundaries, these clearly defined ideas of those 41 games, that was last year. This game, this is this year. These set of games, this is this year. This is a new year, new reality. You know, we talk about the psychology of professional athletes, and that's, you know, a huge area where their success can be derived from. Unfortunately, there is a flip side of that where if the team starts to fall into the idea that they don't have success at home, then they stop having success at home. And of course, the job isn't any easier when you're going up against Connor McDavid, who is playing at an incomparably high level. Logan Couture.
Yeah, I haven't seen him better than this. He may have been. I mean, I don't watch them every single night, but you know, I turn the TV on and watch him. Every time he touches the puck, he's a threat. Doesn't matter where he is, D-zone, O-zone, neutral zone. So very few players have that skill where they're a threat from everywhere on the ice. And if you let him get a few strides and cross over a couple times, good luck.
And this brings up the idea of what the Sharks can do to level the playing field going forward, going up against teams like Edmonton, against Boston, against a Connor McDavid, against some of these top teams and top tier players in the NHL, because ultimately that's what the Sharks need to be able to do just to establish themselves more as a team in the NHL and their identity. Because getting blown out by the Colorados and the Edmontons of the world, that's not where you want to be. You want to be the team doing the blowing out. And you also want to be able to handle these players to give yourself the ability to compete in important games.
Well, we've just listened. We've got to get better. We've got to get more competitive. We've got to skate faster, get bigger, and have the puck more. To me, the number one thing is having the puck more. And that's probably the best way to defend him, is to have the puck more and be able to complete more passes and make better decisions and play faster mentally and with the puck. So all of that needs to improve here, and we're all aware of that, and it will.
That's head coach David Quinn, who also talked about the Sharks' need for team speed and it not just being skating fast.
There's got to be way more awareness from our end. And, you know, playing fast isn't skating fast. It's really having an anticipation of what you're going to do. And, you know, we got too many guys right now that are just not paying attention and not alert enough. And, you know, it's a reason why we struggle.
And this is where the team needs to improve. You know, you see these turnovers still in game 79 of the year, and it's something they have not been able to get away from. They have gotten better at it compared to where they were earlier in the year, but it's still a part of their DNA, a part of their identity. And that's something that needs to be worked on in the offseason. It's done with talent. It's done with coaching, and it's done with responsibility from the players.
Yeah, it got really sloppy there after that, after the turnover, after the shorthanded goal. And, you know, we just, you know, we got to regroup and we got to get back at it, and, you know, can't let these things linger. And I thought up to that point, we were managing the game and doing a pretty good job. And then just, you know, they might say we played 38 minutes of pretty good hockey. And then after that, it just unfolded.
And I do feel that at times it feels like the weight of the entire season comes pouring onto the San Jose Sharks every single time they make one of these mistakes, because they know it's been part of what has defined them this year. It's been part of what the issue has been. It's not gotten better nearly quickly enough. And I'm sure that there is a little bit of that weight felt by the players in every single game and every single time they make a mistake. Now, granted, you don't want them making these mistakes, but you do know that mistakes are going to happen. But because it has been a point of discussion all year long, because it has been something that we've talked about ad nauseum, it probably, very much like the home losses, gets in their heads because it's something that has not gone away. It's something that has not improved enough. And I'm sure that, yes, they will tell you that they're glad that it's not as bad as it was earlier in the year, but that's a low bar to clear. And I don't think that's the standard they want to be holding themselves to. I think they want to be, you know, that much better of a team, that much more capable, that much more able to have success against these top teams and not still be turning the puck over and not still be rushed into bad decisions. These are areas that they have not been able to improve upon nearly enough. And in terms of the evaluation that is ongoing by the front office of the team, by David Quinn, by the players of themselves, this is going to be an area of concern heading into the next season, and an area where they hope to find the fix. You know, they hope to rectify the mistakes of this year. That's what coaches do. It's not just the X's and O's. It's not just the game plans. It's the looking at the big picture, seeing where mistakes were made, seeing where points were lost, and seeing what they can do to put the team in a better overall sitting going into the next season.
Yeah, I mean, every guy should understand that. I mean, we've got a laundry list of guys that are fighting for their careers, and everybody's evaluating you, not just us. I mean, there's probably 31 teams in the stands making an evaluation, and, you know, you got to make a decision. You got to make a choice. You know, if you want to be an NHLer, you got to play better than that.
Going big picture, Jason Demers was able to play in his 700th NHL game yesterday at SAP Center. That was pretty phenomenal. Logan Couture weighed in.
Just the name brings a smile, I think, to a few guys here that were fortunate to play with JD. Character, just a great glue guy in a locker room. Great sense of humor. He was a big part of a lot of those teams that we had. And happy to see him get a chance to play 700 games. I know I talked to him after he was done in Arizona, and he was a little upset about how the way that ended. I think they scratched him a few times near the end of the season at 699 when they were out of the playoffs. And, you know, as a fellow player, that didn't sit too well with a lot of guys. But, you know, good on Edmonton and Woody to bring him up and play in this building for 700. I think that speaks to about the type of person that Woody is over there behind their bench.
Yeah, pretty cool insights there from Logan Couture talking about JD. And yeah, you do think about some of the teams that he was a part of and some of the stories that I've gotten from the old players about him have just been phenomenal. And, you know, it is, again, a callback to a previous era of Sharks hockey that no longer exists. But it does show you, when you hear these stories about these glue guys, like Mario Ferraro, even though he is, you know, part of the leadership core, he is one of those glue guys because he's got a sense of humor. He's loud. He's talking it up. And I know it's hard to be loud in a losing situation like this year, but I do think that's one of the things that the Sharks have been lacking as of late. It's that overall, you know, just looseness, that environment of having fun. And I think that's, you know, it's the end of an empire, right? Like the Sharks are at the process where Rome has fallen and now they're trying to build themselves back up again. And it's not easy to be loud and boisterous and always having fun when you're in that situation. But, you know, you do need those type of guys like JD, and you need those character type individuals that allow you to, you know, brush off some of the bad losses. You know, Joe Thornton was that way. And we know that, you know, obviously Brent Burns was kind of a weirdo in his own unique way that made people laugh. Like, those are the things that the Sharks need. It's not just the play on the ice. It's the mentality overall. And it's easy for me to say because, you know, when they're in the midst of it, they're tough times. They're the ones living it. I'm just talking about it. All right, we will be back with you on Monday afternoon as we get ready for the Sharks to take on Winnipeg. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.